You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Ryan Morgenstern, you may get interrupted by your former boss. I don't know, but we'll try our best to get through this. It's great to have you back on the show. Brian worked in the Trump White House in the first go-around. He is now the head of public policy at, I want to make sure I get the name of this right, so put on my glasses, Riot Platforms. I get that right, Brian?
You got it.
Great. All right, beautiful. Nice to great, great to see you, man. How's life? How's the family?
Oh, life is great. We've got a four-month-old at home, and she's actually sleeping pretty well. And great. The economy is booming, so life is good.
So you're in crypto now. They had the big crypto summit at the White House. I'm sure you were there, or at least had some people there. A lot of people watched that, like me, and had no idea what any of that meant. So can you help explain it to us?
Absolutely. So the president has declared that we are going to be the crypto capital and Bitcoin superpower of the planet. There is not a clearer contrast that you can find on issues with the Biden administration than you can find in this area, because they spent 4 years trying to put all digital asset businesses out of business because they were trying to protect kind of incumbent industries. But we really need to update the system with sounder money, with cheaper, faster, more secure payments. There's no reason why all of our assets are, the value is inflating away, and it still takes days upon days and exorbitant fees just to move money around. So things are moving fast, and the U.S. really needs to lead in this if we want to maintain our economic supremacy, and the president recognizes this. So this is a policy roadmap that is really taking the opposite approach from Biden, which was to put us out of business, and his approach is to ask, well, what do you need from us policy-wise to help you succeed? And this is kind of the manifestation of all that industry input and feedback that they've received. So really exciting day for the industry and great accomplishment for the president and his team. I know the staff worked really hard on this, and this is the fruits of their labor. It's going to lead to more growth and success in America.
And to me, when I hear cryptocurrency, I think economic freedom. I also think there's people out there like Elizabeth Warren, I would imagine, America's mother-in-law, who are very upset about this, and others. They don't like crypto. Why is that?
Because they want to control everything we do. Her preferred outcome is a central bank digital currency where Americans are subject to government tracking, surveillance, and control over every transaction. And what this does, the president's plan enables the private sector to give people better solutions and that'll evolve faster and that maintain freedom and leave the power with the people in the private sector. I mean, that's the simplest way of describing it. Freedom, as you said, on the one hand, versus total top-down control on the other. So the president's taken the right approach here. The industry is thrilled to be able to work with him because the last administration wouldn't even listen to us. They just would attack, attack, attack.
Well, the last administration hired 87,000 IRS agents and accountants so they could start tracking people who made deposits of $600. I mean, they were all about going after people and tracking every dollar that they spent.
Oh, absolutely true. And, you know, Senator Cruz and others have pointed this out. If you want the Senator Pocahontas model, if you will, then look no further than the Chinese Communist Party and their central bank digital currency. They can decide you're only allowed to shop at this supermarket today. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to buy a firearm today. You're not allowed to buy another gallon of gas. You're not allowed to buy more beef. Whatever it is that, you know, that the commies don't like, they can prevent you from doing it. But what the president is saying, especially with Bitcoin, which is, you know, decentralized, it doesn't have an issuer or a central bank that controls it. It empowers individuals. This is really the opposite approach. And the president wants that approach to thrive and be exported around the world and foster more freedom rather than more centralized control. It's really what we need now to help foster innovation and to make America the leader in the economy of the future. You really have to embrace these things. And the president's been quite visionary on this, I think, in taking the opposite approach from the Biden administration.
So, Brian Morgenstern, does that give, say, credit card companies that want to track your purchases for all their woke initiatives, does that give them a little agita? Because I know that was a big complaint that people had, which is that they would be essentially, you know, tracked and if they bought a gun, if they bought ammunition, certain things. And we had a whole you were in the White House when a lot of this was exposed by you guys. Big banks, central banks that were really outing their customers.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it does give a lot of the legacy institutions some agita. For example, a lot of the smaller banks were very upset about stablecoins and potentially being able to earn interest on stablecoins because they're saying, well, you're going to put us out of business. Well, look, we need a better system. They can adapt if they want to. They can embrace new technology if they want to. But the legacy system is not working for many Americans and many people around the world. You look at Tether, which is a stablecoin company, they have hundreds of millions of people around the world who are not banked. They're not, you know, mm-hmm. banks don't want to take a chance on them. Well, they can use US dollar stablecoins now to store their value or to transact. And so it's happening whether they like it or not. They can either learn how to adapt their business models or they can be left in the dust. But what the president's saying is let the market decide, let the people decide. And I think that's a really good approach.
Brian, for those that are trying to kind of wrap their heads around all this, a point you made earlier, and again, Brian Morgenstern's with me. He was in the first Trump administration. This idea that America needs to be the leader in crypto around the world, and we have to be, and the president wants domination and supremacy on this. Why does that matter?
Well, because if you want to be a superpower, and it's not inevitable, by the way, America's been a superpower, you know, since World War II and in the aftermath and everything, we started to rise really with the Industrial Revolution. If you have economic growth that's faster than the rest of the world, you're going to be dominant diplomatically, you're going to be dominant militarily. The next wave of growth is going to be in digital assets, and it's going to be in AI, because mm-hmm. it's the way you move money, and it's the way you move information. And if it is underpinned by these kind of central planning communist values, woke values, I suppose, is one way of putting it, well, then the whole world is going to be, you know, ground to a halt. We're not going to grow fast enough. We're just not going to be able to compete. But if it's really underpinned by American values, freedom, empowerment to innovate, empowerment for people to take control of their financial future and for them to get the best, most accurate information quickly, then really America is going to continue to lead. We're going to grow faster and everybody else is going to be trying to catch up to us. So if you let others lead, we're going to fall behind. If we lead, we will maintain our superpower status. I think it's that existential an issue.
I want to play a clip for you, Brian, if I could. CNBC this morning was taking shots at, we mentioned Pocahontas a little bit earlier today, Elizabeth Warren, and some of these others, you know, who have been just decrying the gloom and doom of the economy that's going to happen under President Trump. And we got great economic numbers today, which I want to get your take on as well. But this is cut number two.
the left and people that don't like the president and don't want things to work. And you know, like Senator Elizabeth Warren will come on and say, inflation's out of control and the economy is getting killed by what's happening by these tariffs. This 3% with the market at new highs, and really we haven't seen inflation, you know, go up back to 3%. Maybe it will this week. Maybe we'll see it. But none of these things, none of these horrible things have happened, but they still talk like it's happening. It's amazing.
Well, there's an important lesson there. Don't pick a congressman to be your money manager. That's what I would say. But in the end, Congress has their own reasons to point out certain things. And the Democrats, of course, as you pointed out, really don't want to see the current administration have some success. But there's no doubt that this is some success. We're seeing more horsepower. We're seeing better equities. Inflation really hasn't changed much in the last.
Now, Brian, the only thing I take issue with is he said maybe Congress shouldn't be your money manager. Today, the bill that they pushed out of committee, which would ban stock trades by members of Congress, which I think is a good thing and something we should all embrace. But other than that, it's true. You know, you hear Democrats, Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders and others. They have been just it's nothing but doom and gloom with these people. Even today, it's despite the fact that the GDP numbers are up, it's still doom and gloom.
Yeah, and we faced this for all 4 years of the first Trump term. But what did people actually experience? They experienced stronger growth than they'd seen in a generation. They saw middle class, working class wages rise faster at a faster pace than their bosses for the first time in many years. We saw more economic activity picking up like crazy. But it comes back to kind of the two approaches. President Trump's approach is, I want to make you rich. I want to make us all rich. The Democrats' approach is, I want you to give me power. And they don't get more power if things are working well. So they have to message that things aren't working well. And the only way to get them back on track is to give me more power. Whereas, you know, like I said, the president's letting consumers in the market decide and follow the incentives, which are lower taxes, you know, immediate expensing to build a bigger industrial base here, tariffs to help build more industries domestically and open up markets for American companies. It's again, the president's message is, I want you to be rich. The Democrats' message is, I want you to give me power. I know which one I prefer. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, Brian, I'm with you on that. The other thing, too, that the president's been saying a lot of, and something that I love, is he wants nations to be rich, and he wants to make them strong, and this way we don't have wars. So instead of, make love, not war, it's make money, not war, with this president.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And think about what's happened. So when the president was in office first time, we had the Secretary of Energy and we had our ambassadors, particularly to Europe. Now he's doing it with India, it looks like. But in that first term, it was buy American natural gas, buy your energy from us. We want to do business with you. Mm-hmm. We want to get rich and help you get rich. And that approach was starving the Putin war machine, and it was starving the Iranian terror machine of funds to fund this, you know, malign activity. Then you had the Biden administration reverse course. Guess who got more powerful, more rich, more violent?
Yeah.
Russia and Iran, for example. Now, going back to the Trump approach, it's going to take some time to undo the damage that was done. But we already know the proof is in the pudding because we saw it the first time around that you're going to have a more peaceful world and a more prosperous world with Trump's approach.
It was amazing how, you know, nations in Europe buying Putin's natural gas and then also giving Ukraine money to fight Vladimir Putin. I mean, it was just so mind-boggling. So I guess I'll ask you this question. Well, two questions. Number one, with the new deal the president announced with the EU, that's going to be great for us and our liquid natural gas exports to Europe. So that's great news for us. Great news for Pennsylvania. I mean, as the liquid natural gas capital, and if, you know, we get these export facilities up and running, and we can send our natural gas to Europe faster than other parts of the country can. So it's great news for them. But number two, it's also a sign, I think, to Europe that, you know, when the president goes over there and he says right to the face of the prime minister, we're not doing windmills. They're stupid. They don't work. We're not doing it, right? It's a sign that we are and Europe was warned about this. I mean, he sat across from Angela Merkel. You were in the White House then, and he warned her. He said, you are going to make Vladimir Putin very powerful and very rich if you go down this road. And Germany went down that road. And so now I think the message is, hey, the United States, we are going to be, and I love how he says this, we're not just going to be energy independent, we're going to be energy dominant. And we will then be able to help keep the world more peaceful in the process, but also help them keep the lights on, Brian, which is a very, very important point.
It's absolutely a very important point. And look, I love all kinds of energy, but he's right on windmills. They're intermittent sources, so they're only really supplying power when the wind's blowing. But if you're going to power this digital economy with digital assets and AI that are going to make everything more efficient, they're going to make workers more efficient, they're going to create more GDP per capita, well, you need a lot of reliable baseload electricity. The Secretary of Energy was just talking about this at the AI Summit, where the president spoke. Yep. And, you know, I think there were some renewable energy investors who maybe were a little unhappy with his comments. But we've seen it in grids around the country. When you have these intermittent sources that go way up with what they're giving to the grid and then way down very quickly, it can cause reliability problems. And if your business requires electricity 24/7, you can't just be running it when the wind's blowing. You have to run it all the time. So that means natural gas. It means nuclear. You know, it needs these reliable baseload power sources. And so the president's right. You know, we can't live in fantasy land. We can't live in the world that we wish existed. We have to live in the one that does. And that means reliable baseload power. So he's totally right. And I'm glad he's spreading that message.
You know, you and I have known each other a long time, and now you're a big shot in the crypto world, but you were a political guy like I was in a former life. Let me ask you this question from your vantage point. Do you agree with my point that there was a time when Joe Biden, the astute politician that he once was, would have never allowed a liquid natural gas export ban to happen in an election year when you had to win Pennsylvania? Because I really believe that executive order was signed by Otto Penn, by White House staffers who just figured they could do whatever the hell they wanted. Because when Mike Johnson asked him about it, and he had no idea what the speaker was talking about. And I just, you know, that when he was shrewd back in the day, he would have been smart enough to say, we got to win Pennsylvania. We're not doing a liquid natural gas export ban.
Oh, I'm with you. I agree. And I knew people in the White House even when Biden was there, and there were different sides of, you know, there are people debating, but there were certainly voices in that White House who were saying what I think you and I would say, which is, well, you can't do that because think of all the downstream consequences. Right. But it was the crazy voices who ultimately won out. And based on what the speaker said, I have no reason to doubt that you're right, that, you know, if Joe Biden were Joe Biden of old and at least had his faculties, and as the president says, you know, maybe he wasn't the sharpest tool 25 years ago, but he at least knew electoral math. And electoral math includes economic math in states that really matter. And, you know, natural gas exports are critically important to the United States and to our allies, as we've already discussed. So I just can't imagine that if he were all there, he would have read that and said, oh, yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah. I mean, I just think the staff steamrolled him, and it was the particular crazy parts of the staff, I think, that ended up winning the argument. And ultimately, the Otto Penn made the choice. And it's a shame. You know, that was really harmful for the country and for our allies. But thank goodness President Trump is back and he can correct course.
Before I let you go, Brian, how does it feel knowing that you were in the White House and people accused people like you of working for a Putin puppet, a Russian asset, a spy, all this other nonsense, that now that all this is finally coming out, thanks to CIA Director John Ratcliffe, thanks to DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard, thanks to the House Intelligence Committee, thanks to Chuck Grassley, now that all the truth is coming out about how this was all set up by Brennan and Clapper and Comey, that's got to be a certain sense of vindication.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I was saying for years when I was there, you know, I know the man. I can assure you he is not a Russian spy. And the fact that you guys have been accusing of being a Russian spy for 3 years is pretty mind-boggling, especially when we were announcing sanctions on Russia all the time when I worked at the Treasury Department. And so now all this coming out is very gratifying. You know, what's still frustrating, though, is that the mainstream media, I think, is still just not going to give it the just desserts, that this was just a scam. For years and years, they painted the American president as a traitor. What a ridiculous narrative. But thank goodness it's finally being, you know, debunked and proven so with the great people we have in there now. I know Director Ratcliffe well. He is a great guy, a patriot, and thank goodness that he's able to finally air out the dirty laundry so that we can put all this behind us.
It's great catching up, my friend. Come back and visit us again on the show. Follow Brian on X at MorganSternNJ. And please do come back and visit us and keep us posted on all things in the world of crypto. And anytime you want to chat.
Absolutely, Rich. Always great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So as we go along here, I want to tell you we're going to be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, my happy place, August 15th for our next live show. I'm so excited. But this is the time for you to start thinking about that fall reservation for your September to remember getaway vacation. Fall is the best time to be in Cape May, September in particular. I mean, the weather is just perfect. You know, the temperature's warm and the crowds are gone. You have the place basically all to yourself. At the Grand Hotel, you save 10% off room rates. Plus, you get resort credits to use. And it's just, it's also the perfect place to have an event. Weddings, beautiful oceanfront weddings and fall family get-togethers, bridal showers, baby showers, I mean, you name it. My friend Caitlin, certified wedding planner, and the face, the 2025 face of South Jersey weddings. She will help you plan the wedding of your dreams. And mark your calendar, August 15th. It's our last show of the summer. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be so much fun being there, and I want you to join us for that. The show is free. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. Just come on by and see us. But if you want to stay, I don't know if they have any rooms left, but go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and make your reservation. And think about that getaway. You can take the family away. They have the beautiful indoor heated pool the kids love. And, of course, the outdoor heated pool. And those resort credits, use them at Hemingway's Restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, and so much more. So I'll see you on August 15th. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it can only mean one thing. Justin's watching Breaking Bad for the 18th time.
El Camino, actually.
Oh, nice. What do you think?
I I like it. It's not my favorite, but you know, it's good. I really enjoyed it for, I think this is like the third or fourth time I've watched it.
Oh my God. Wow.
Anything Vince Gilligan makes, I will be there to watch it.
What else has he made?
He made Breaking Bad, El Camino, Better Call Saul, any of the combination of the three in the Breaking Bad universe, I will be there.
I would love another Breaking Bad spinoff, something. I would love it, because that was one of the greatest shows ever. And in case you don't know, the song was it's called Baby Blue. Is that the name
Blue
of the song?
By Badfinger.
By Badfinger. Because I know on YouTube, I guess you can't hear the music still. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think that's ever going to change, by the way.
Who cares? I mean, whatever. But I'd say I have been rewatching Dexter. Did you ever see Dexter?
You know, I've been seeing a bunch of clips of Dexter on my TikTok, and I've been really thinking about starting it.
I think you should. I loved it. I forgot the fact that I never finished it. Like, I was so into it, and I for whatever reason never watched the last couple seasons. And then I watched they did like a Dexter Resurrection or something that it was okay. It wasn't that great, but they did a prequel about it. So he's a serial killer that kills other serial killers to channel his killer instinct. His dad taught him to go after bad guys and kill them, which kind of makes Dexter sort of a sympathetic anti-hero character, but you root for him because he's killing bad guys, even though he's technically a killer, you know. Very well done show. And then they made a prequel, and the first season was great. And they have a spinoff, not a spinoff, but they have another one now where he's back, and it's really good too. So I'm now rewatching the original season. It's kind of a joy to rewatch shows that you once watched. You know what I mean? To go back and revisit The Sopranos or something you watched in the past, like Breaking Bad, and rewatch it all over again with a fresh set of eyes. It actually is kind of fun to do.
Yeah, I've been debating. I know how much the last season was a kick in the gonads, but I kind of want to go back and rewatch. I watched House of Dragons, and I kind of want to go back and rewatch Game of Thrones, but I don't want to put myself through the hell that was the final season.
I know. I mean, and the final season of Dexter was from what I was told, the train wreck. This is a problem. I mean, shows don't know how to end on the right note. I thought Breaking Bad stuck the landing. I think that they ended that show the best way they possibly could. I don't think there was another way to end it, you know? So.
What are some other shows that have, like, satisfying endings besides Breaking Bad? It's hard to think.
Yeah, I mean, most of them, they leave you with a sense of disappointment. I mean, in hindsight, I think The Sopranos ended the right way, but at the time, I think we all agreed that was a terrible way to end the show. But in time, you look back and you go, all right, that makes sense if you believe Tony Soprano's dead. Spoiler alert, you know. So I think that was okay. But, yeah, no, there were some shows that had terrible endings to their reign. They would have five, six great seasons, and then it ends. And then you wonder what the hell the point was the entire time if it ends in such a bad note. So,
spent all that time for that.
Yeah, for that, exactly. So now I'm bailing on shows much quicker than I used to. I bailed on House of Dragons. I bailed on that show with the fungi, the fungus people. What is it?
The Last of Us?
Yeah, I bailed on that season two. I said I'm not investing any time in this.
Good call. You know? That it got real bad after the second episode.
God, Walking Dead by the 12th season, I think, got ridiculous, so I bailed on that. But like 12 seasons in, you know? So, I don't know. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, God forbid, going back to the Last of Us, you know, I played both games. God forbid, you have literally the easiest way to just translate, because both games were great, and the story was great and it all made sense. God forbid you just follow the source material and just copy. It's not that hard. It's the same guy, Neil Druckmann, who directs the TV show, made the game. You made a good, you made two good games. Just copy that and you're fine.
Yeah, but I think here's the problem. So Jack Carr made a great point once, which is that he's a novelist, not a TV writer. And so when his show, when The Terminalist was adapted to be an Amazon Prime show, they hired one of the best Hollywood writers who that's what he does. He takes novels and writes them for TV. You know, so I mean, and Jack contributes to it, but that he wasn't writing the teleplay. And I think that's the same thing. It's you could be a great writer of a book, but not translate that to a TV show or not translate that into a movie. And some TV shows can't be movies, and some movies can't be TV shows. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I agree with you. I mean, The Last of Us, the problem was definitely the writing. I know Bella Ramsey took a lot of the heat because, I mean, she wasn't very good. But at the same time, the lines that she was forced to deliver were just terribly written.
I got to tell you, I took such joy the other day listening to my 10-year-old son, Patrick, and his cousin Larkin going on about how bad the new Snow White movie is and just ripping it apart. And he goes, Dad, and now, you know, my son, he goes, Dad, Snow White's darker than me. He goes, what is this? I love it. It's like he's even at that age now, they're picking up on the fact that it was woke nonsense. And he's like, what's with the dwarves? Why were they like cartoon characters? I mean, great. Just shredded that movie. Loved it. Loved listening to that.
Did you end up watching it, or did
no?
Did you avoid?
Absolutely
it?
Not. I would. And he didn't watch it either. He doesn't have to. No, no. Not wasting my time watching that. That's the pile of garbage.
It looked really bad. I'll watch basically anything, even if I know going in it doesn't have great reviews. That one, I'm not touching.
Yeah, not touching that one. You know what show ended the right way was Newhart. Do you remember that comedy show? Obviously, before your guys'
Bob
generation.
Newhart?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd never seen it, but.
And it ends with him with waking up from a dream. It was all a dream. That was a very good way to end a show. Cheers ended the right way. Seinfeld ended the right way, I think. I know a lot of people didn't agree at the time, but they ended up in jail and probably what they deserved. So I don't know. I mean, that kind of ended the right way.
You know what show I'm rewatching now, oddly enough? I stumbled across it, and it's actually quite good. Leave It to Beaver. Now, no one spoil the ending for me, because I'm only on season two.
Leave It to Beaver?
Leave It to Beaver, yeah. That show is good.
No, it's fine. It is, but you won't watch a movie that's made before the year 2015, but you'll...
No, 2000 is my cutoff.
Oh, 2000, but you'll go back and watch a show that was made in the 1950s?
Well, I stumbled upon it. I watched a few minutes of it. I thought it was quite funny. Jerry Mathers is delightful. And then the next thing I know, I was watching episode after episode. I've cut through the first season already.
Amazing.
It's good. I highly recommend it.
You amaze me with just... how you choose to watch
the most random TV. Right, the most random things in the world.
You know what else I've been watching? So I saw the new Superman and loved it, and which is high praise for me because typically I don't like superhero movies. So I went back and I watched the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve from the late 70s and 80s. First two are incredible, and I would say Superman 2 better than Superman 1. It's one of those strange films where the second actually I think is better than the first. Superman 3, however, I've only gotten halfway through it. I had to pause it. It's so bad.
Oh, it's a train wreck. Richard Pryor, and it was in 3D. So I saw Superman 3 in 3D. Back in the day when they had the glasses, that one was red and one was blue, and you put them on, and that movie is such a train wreck. There's no Lex Luthor in it. It's like some digital computer guy who's the bad guy. The only good scene in that movie is when Superman somehow manages to get drunk, which I don't know how, but he gets drunk at a bar and then beats the crap out of himself and then emerges as Superman, like the good Superman. He beats up Clark Kent. That's the only good scene in the movie.
Well, I haven't gotten to that part yet, so you've spoiled it for me. My favorite part, well, actually it wasn't my favorite part. This is where I threw up my hands and walked away. There was a nuclear power plant or something that was about to explode. And he froze a lake, picked it up, and then melted it on top of the power plant so that it wouldn't would go catastrophic and destroy the town, which not good.
Superman in that movie flies to Pisa, Italy, and fixes the Leaning Tower of Pisa when he's bad Superman. And then when he's good Superman, and so then the guy, this Italian guy in Pisa, which I've been to, the Zioli Army, we did a trip to Italy years ago, the Tuscany tour, the Tuscany Raiders, and we went to Pisa, and they have this little shop there, and all these little towers. So this guy had all these, you know, leaning towers. So Superman corrects the tower, and then the guy winds up making towers that are straight, not leaning. And then when Superman becomes good again, after he sobers up, he goes back and fixes the leaning tower, making it lean again. And then the guy curses him and knocks down all the towers that he built, the ceramic towers, because now he's got to rebuild them all again because they're leaning.
That's an actual scene from the movie?
It's an actual scene from Superman 3.
That's wild.
I've never seen Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, and I don't think I want to, because I've heard it's just nothing other than a train wreck. But maybe I will, just to kind of. And then they made Superman Returns, which was awful. And then I did like Man of Steel with Henry Cavill. I thought that was an excellent movie, except for the third act was a mess. It was a mess.
He's now supposed to be rumored to be the next James Bond.
He's not going to be, though. He's too old. Oh, the president's speaking now. Why don't we jump in? I'm sure as riveting as this conversation is about Superman 3 in 3D, I'm sure you'd rather hear the president right now talking about the EU trade deal. So why don't we jump in, take a listen to the president, and we'll let you hear that.
In this country, or planned to be built very shortly, they'll be starting, and where they need great amounts of energy, like for AI, they're going to be, I've given them approval. And Lee Zeldin has given them very fast approval to build their own electric powering plants, and they'll build them with the factory, so we don't have to worry about an ancient grid and all of the other problems, the obstacles people thought we were going to have that would make it impossible. And we're leading AI by a lot, and I think people are very impressed with our country. As they said, the King of Saudi Arabia and various leaders, and just about every leader I can even imagine. We were in the Middle East and Qatar, UAE, Saudi Arabia. They said, 1 year ago, your country was dead. And today you have the hottest country anywhere in the world. And that's true. So I congratulate everybody in the room that's helped. But we're doing a good job together. I'd like to begin by saying a few words about the unbelievable kind of numbers that we've been putting up. And as I said, the number of 3%, the pace in the second quarter, we smashed all expectations. They thought it would be maybe a little bit less than 2, and it was 3, a little bit more than 3. Consumer spending is up. Business investment is way up. Domestic manufacturing is way up. Real disposable family income is up, and personal savings are up. Other than that, we're not doing so great. We have the hottest country, and I'll tell you, it's a great. We're having a lot of fun with it. At the same time, we dramatically slashed government spending for the second quarter in a row, down nearly 4%, which people were surprised at. We do a lot of cutting also. The private sector has boomed with nearly 600,000 jobs added, way above expectations, while we have reduced the federal workforce by 70,000 jobs. So these are private jobs that are coming back to our country. Federal jobs are being cut. Critics said that our tariffs would hurt the economy, but the data shows the exact opposite, and the exact opposite is happening. The U.S. Treasury has taken in $150 billion from tariffs and will be adding about $200 billion next month for totals that nobody's ever seen before, frankly. And foreign imports were down 30% in the second quarter, while the domestic auto production surged by a stunning 36%. How about that number, Dr. Oz? Right? That's good. That's good. We want to do that with your patients, too. We're going to have a very healthy country. At the same time, inflation continues to fall faster than expectations. And for the fifth consecutive month, core inflation was lower than predicted substantially. This is truly the dawn of the golden age of America. That's what we're in. We want to keep it that way. This afternoon, we're gathered to announce another historic victory for the American people, very important one. Today, the dream of easily transportable electronic medical records finally becomes a reality. And I want to thank Secretary Scott Bessent, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for joining us, as well as Administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Dr. Mehmet Oz, all friends of mine. White House AI and crypto czar David Sacks and acting administrator of DOGE, Amy Gleason, all here. And we have various great senators here. Senator Rounds, Senator Cassidy, thank you very much for being here and helping out. I also want to thank representatives from Apple, Google, Samsung, Amazon, OpenAI, Anthropic, Epic, Oracle, Athena, Health, Noom, and that's not a bad group of people. Wow. And they're the top people. We don't play games. You know, when you invite people to the White House, the top ones, that's a big net worth sitting in this room right now. Boy, oh boy, we better make sure the room is nice and safe. It's half our, the net worth of our country. I'm also grateful to be joined by numerous congressmen. I'm not going to name you if you don't mind. I'll probably never get their vote again, but it's too many. Thank you very much for being here. The Congress has been great. Senators have been great, and the congressmen and women have been great. We just passed the most important. I think, look, I can't say most important, but certainly one of the most, but the most consequential and the largest bill in the history of Congress. And I call it the great, big, beautiful bill. We call it different names, but it all means the same thing. For decades, America's healthcare networks have been overdue for a high-tech upgrade, and that's what we're doing. The existing systems are often slow, costly, and incompatible with one another. But with today's announcement, we take a major step to bring healthcare into the digital age, something that is absolutely vital. You got to do it. Moving from clipboards and fax machines into a new era of convenience, profitability, and speed, and frankly, better health for people. Under the leadership of Administrator Oz, we're officially launching the CMS Digital Health Tech Ecosystem to give healthcare providers, insurers, and software companies the tools they need to empower Americans with a 21st century experience on health. The key breakthrough we've made is getting many of the biggest names in the healthcare and technology to agree to industry-wide standards for electronic medical records. All of those great companies that you just heard have gotten together with this group of very brilliant people. I think, I don't know who's more brilliant, them or them. I don't know. Could be them. I hate to tell you. It could very well be them. But I don't know. I'm going to take my team. But the key breakthrough we've made is getting many of the biggest names in healthcare and technology to agree to that those standards of electronic medical records that we talk about and you've heard about for so many years, and now it's happening. This will allow patients to easily transmit information from one doctor to another, even if they're different networks and using different record-keeping systems. No matter what system they use, they're all transferable. The new standards will also make it simple for patients to access their own personal health records. I don't want to see mine, please. I don't want to see. I don't know about you. They have all sorts of things. Sir, they can tell you exactly what your problem is going to be in 6 years. We can do it. You know, they have all these different things. I don't know if they work or not, but I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. If they got a problem, I don't want to know about it right now. But it is amazing what they're doing. I don't know. Does it actually work? Can they do that? All right. Well, then I'm glad I said I don't want to know. But thanks to this announcement, healthcare providers across the country will also finally be able to kill the clipboard. It's an expression that's used, capital, with a capital C, kill the clipboard.
Instead of filling out the same tedious paperwork at every medical appointment, patients will simply be able to grant their doctors access to their records at the push of a button. Just a button and you're all set, and all the information the doctor needs will be immediately transmitted. The system will be entirely opt-in, and there will be no centralized government-run database, which everyone is always concerned about. I'm less concerned than anybody. I say whatever it is, but people are very, very concerned about the personal records. They want to keep them very quiet, and that's their choice. I think it's a great thing because it will be. It'll be absolutely quiet. Instead, doctors and patients will always remain in control. The benefits to millions of Americans will be enormous. We will save time, we'll save money, and most importantly, we'll save lives. It's just going to make people live longer and be a lot healthier. I think that's really what you're looking to do. And now I'd like to ask Secretary Kennedy to say a few words, followed by David Sacks, Dr. Oz, and Amy Gleason. Thank you very much, everybody.
Apparently I was wrong. Superman 3 was not in 3D. Thank you, Chris.
All right, that's
Bachelor Chris, for letting me know.
His big economic win this week with a trade.
Okay, we can jump out of this. So, there's more stuff on the health stuff with Secretary Kennedy I want to get into, and Dr. Marty Makary, who was on America's Newsroom today, but we have a lot to do. The big story of the hour, though, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike cares about care. That's what he's all about. Care. It's not cost. It's care. And that is the Mike Vanaria difference. And Mama Zioli discovered him for our family. So make sure you discover him for yours. How's this for a novel idea? You can book your next office, bachelor, bachelorette, or private party at Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's Little Sports Shop. I mean, how great does that sound? And totally unique, right? Totally different kind of an event, shooting range fun. They have certified instructors there for you. You don't need any experience. You don't need a firearms ID card. You just go to Bob's and have some fun. And they've got women trainers. In fact, they've got an event for the ladies coming up on August 10th at 1 p.m. Ladies, I can't stress it enough. Firearm safety, firearms to protect yourself. It matters. These women's shooting event classes are great, and you'll have a lot of fun August 10th at 1 p.m. I have a good friend who's gone there to Bob's for those before, and she's had a blast. Bob's can help you plan the perfect event, and you'll have instructors, and everything will be taken care of for you. No alcohol or drugs permitted on premises, of course. Bob's also has classes and the most incredible selection of firearms. The best people working there for 60 years. Bob's Little Sports Shop in Glassboro, New Jersey, has been the go-to for so many people who care about the Second Amendment and freedom and liberty. And they're my go-to. And I'm so honored and proud that they sponsor our show. So go see them today. Bob'sLittleSportsShop.com. Remember, ladies, August 10th, 1 p.m. for the ladies' shooting event. All right? Women's shooting event, August 10th at 1 p.m. Check out all the details at Bob'sLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See, when I get it wrong, I own it. So Superman 3 was not in 3D. It was terrible in 2D. The conversation at the White House right now, which we're not going to take the whole thing because we have some guests coming up, but it's all about making health technology great again. Went to the doctor today. I'm down 15 pounds from my last visit. And at that visit, I was down 15 pounds. So it's a total of 30 pounds now, which is great. And, you know, I'm just doing it by working out, intermittent fasting, and heroin. So it's been really helpful. But there was he had a sign that said, please don't mistake Google for my medical degree. And I thought that was a great sign. So Dr. Renzi in Morristown, New Jersey, Cooper doctor, great guy, real great. Been there forever. Everybody knows him. And anyway, it made me think about that because we live in an age now where everybody, you know, goes online. One of the things people do is they use ChatGPT as their therapist. And there's all these apps now, which I would in a million years not use. But there's even apps now where AI will act like your psychiatrist, basically. Your psychologist would probably be a better term since it's not going to prescribe you anything. But although, I mean, you can get that. But and you talk to it, and it kind of talks back to you. But Sam Altman, who is a really smart guy, he's the OpenAI CEO, was on the podcast with Theo Von. Now, Theo Von's podcast is hugely popular. President Trump went on there during the campaign. And much like Rogan's podcast, massive audiences. And, you know, this is what I mean about the ever-changing media landscape, where podcasts, at one point, nobody knew what the hell they were. Nowadays, you know, where we are in radio, hoping you'll catch us on a platform that may not be on a traditional radio. TV is doing the same thing. So the guys who got in on the podcast floor at a time when people were like, that's stupid, they built up massive audiences. Now, it also helps that they're talented and they've, you know, people like what they do. I don't listen to Theo Von's podcast. I tune into Rogan every now and then. But mostly, honestly, when I'm not doing this because I talk for 4 hours a day, I rarely listen to anything because I don't want to be – I need a break. And I do prep for the show, even though we joke about not doing show prep, and that takes up a lot of time. But, yeah, I like listening to, like, here and there, these little clips and things. And the podcasts that I do listen to are usually around – like health and motivation, things that are not political. Theo Von and Joe Rogan both do some of that too, you know, in addition to doing politics. But anyway, Sam Altman was on there and he was talking about how many people are using ChatGPT like a therapist and why that's a problem. And I'm going to get into that in the next hour with you. Plus, we're going to talk about the economy and how good the economy is and how strong the economy is. We had a great economist coming up. And Jimmy Failla is going to stop by in the 5 o'clock hour, too. So we got a lot to do and a lot to get to as we continue along the show today. I want to remind you, we will be live at the Grand Hotel August 15th for our next live show. Mark your calendar and join us for that. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.